Very happy to have with us for the second of his visits this week, Hanford Top Dog Dixon. Hanford, how are we doing?
I'm good, Vic. How are you?
Doing great, my friend. Lots to talk about with this draft coming up, and I think the first place I want to go now with Trent Richardson and the idea that the St. Louis Rams, who have a really good running back by the name of Steven Jackson, but they have a new coach in Jeff Fisher, and he has expressed that there's a real possibility with their sixth choice, or perhaps they could possibly move. I don't know if they would try to move and manipulate their way up to do this, but if he's there with the sixth pick, that they would be willing to take the Alabama running back Trent Richardson.
You know what, Vic? It's funny, and you and I, we've talked about it, we laughed about it, we've discussed it. You just don't know what to believe right now coming out of all these coaches and GMs' mouths right now, because everybody is jockeying for the player they want and trying to throw everybody else off and
mixed signals.
But I tell you what, you know, whether he's trying to throw him off or not, this Trent Richardson is a talent. I mean, he is a talent. Talking about the running back out of the University of Alabama, just an outstanding running back. We've also heard some rumors coming out this week that we are also interested the Browns are interested in taking Trent Richardson, mm-hmm. the running back. And I don't have a problem with that at all if we were to draft this guy, because obviously he's a great, great talent and we need playmakers, and Trent Richardson is a playmaker. But again, getting back to the story with Fisher and what he put out there, it's pretty interesting. I mean, it really is, because obviously he can help their team because they have Bradford, who is the quarterback of that football team, and obviously they need some wide receivers also.
And maybe Jackson at some point, you know, health becomes an issue, right? Running backs do wear down. Running backs, the shelf life is more – I mean, everybody's shelf life is limited, but I think for a running back, more limited.
Well, and that's what everybody say, because obviously they do take a beating. I mean, they take a lot of hits. They're constantly being hit all the time, and their body just wear down. Now, one guy that come to mind, Earl Campbell. I mean, the poor guy, great, great guy, can hardly walk today because of the many hits that he took. But as far as a running back, we need one. We need a good one, and Trent Richardson would be the guy. But I tell you what, Fisher, I mean, that little
he puts that in play and keeps people wondering. You're right. I mean, for whatever reason, I'm more suspicious when a coach or a GM or somebody is open about a plan, because for the most part, no one's saying anything.
Well, because right now, where are they, number three?
They're six right now,
and they would have to move up a little bit, or they think they would have to move
either
up.
Either they think that he could fall to them, which is not out of the question, depending on what happens with picks four and five. Obviously, the Browns and the Buccaneers, and then the other possibility, as you said, is do they make the trade to get ahead of Cleveland if they're worried that the Browns would take him? But you know, they moved down from with the Redskins and got a lot on that deal to get from 2 to 6, so they could have the wherewithal to move back up.
And normally I would say and agree with everyone what they say about running backs and they don't last their life and all that whole thing. But when you have a talent like a guy like Trent Richardson who's staring you in the face, who's probably going to be the best available athlete that's on the board, for a lot of teams when they're drafting, if he's still there, it's going to be hard to pass him up.
Well, you know, you bring that up. Okay, best available athlete, and you were specific to go there. Do you see him as the dynamic difference maker type of player, even more so than just a running back who gives you the soundness in that game? Does he do enough to give you big plays as well as a guy who's moving the chains?
Well, I think no question he does. I mean, I think yes, to answer your question, he's the type of guy that can turn a play, a play that's not going to gain any yards into a play that a positive play. He's a guy that can take it the distance every time he touches the ball. Not only does he possess the wherewithal to get you the tough yardage that you're going to need coming out of a running back, he also gives you that burst where if there's a little gap where he can hit it and then take it the distance. And he obviously is a north-south runner, And like I said, he's a special talent, and he's going to be tough for anyone to pass up when it's come time to draft.
Hanford Dixon making his regular appearance here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Another draft topic that was interesting this week. Earlier this week, Brian Billick appeared on ESPN's radio's Mike and Mike show and talked about basically gave the cautionary tale of Jamarcus Russell as a quarterback who, because of what he did in workouts and some of the phenomenal displays of arm and you know, of course, with size and strength, all the things he had going for him, but coming out of LSU and then looking like this guy, especially in workouts, convincing personnel folks that he was worth more than maybe they initially graded him as, and eventually pushed his way right to the top of the draft. We know the rest of the story, that he became a bust, but this was back in 2007. Now he's saying the same possibility exists for Ryan Tannehill, that a lot of the excitement that has been generated by what he's done in workouts and so forth, and people taking those extra looks at videotape and convincing themselves that he is a top-tier player, not just a quarterback, and pushing him perhaps as high as third on the board overall. It's just interesting that Brian Billick, who worked with Ozzie Newsome, worked with some great personnel evaluators in Baltimore, and made the point that he said everybody had him as – he was, to quote Billick, the highest-rated player I've ever seen on any of our boards. So – That's saying something, and of course, a lot of people got it wrong.
Well, yeah, Jamarcus Russell, I think, fooled all of us. I mean, I was sold on him, too, but of course, Jamarcus Russell is – I knew a little bit more about him because he's my homeboy. He's,
yeah,
you know, from the Alabama, Mobile, Alabama, and obviously, just like you said, he played at LSU. Big, big talent, big strong arm, a big, tall kid, a kid that not only can run the football but can throw it as well, as we all thought. Obviously he possessed that skill to do it at one level, but he just couldn't take it to the next level. And the Oakland Raiders are just still upset about that deal,
yeah,
because that was their franchise quarterback.
Sure.
And he was a big, big disappointment, and I think you used the word bust, and I definitely agree with you with that term when we're talking about Jamarcus Russell. But getting to Tannehill, you know, I don't know, Vic. I mean, this kid is moving up the ladder, and he's moving up pretty, pretty fast. I mean, obviously he had great, great workouts, but he there's still that big question mark about him. I mean, he just, we draft fourth. Would I be comfortable with us taking him at number four? I don't know. I don't think so. Mm-hmm. But, you know, who knows? This kid may jump in the league. He may be the opposite of Russell, jump in the league and fool everybody and just play extremely well. Someone obviously is going to take a chance on it, but it's going to be – I don't think that chance will come.
Do you I was going to say in the top 10. I mean,
I think on the latter part of the top 10,
yeah,
maybe 9, 10,
or 8,
maybe
where Miami
eight with
is.
Miami.
Yeah.
But, in that first six picks, no, because, I mean, obviously we know who the top two quarterbacks are going to be.
Right.
Those two guys are gone.
Sure.
I mean, and after him, obviously it is Tannehill. So –
Tannehill. That's okay.
Tannehill. But it's Billick. I mean, what he's saying, I pretty much agree with him a little bit. There is some caution that we all have to have when we're talking about this kid.
Yeah, because of that lack of body of work. And that's where I think it gets scary and dicey for the investment of an upper tier or top 10 pick. That said, I mean, as recently as today, I continue to hear the pundits gush about this kid and keep going on and on about how good a quarterback he'll be and how no one would be surprised about his, appearing in this upper tier territory. But an interesting counterpoint to that is those who are saying, well, you worry about a rookie who doesn't deliver, say, the way a Cam Newton did last year, the way an Andy Dalton did last year. But if you go back to, say, Sam Bradford, we talked about earlier in the show,
mm-hmm,
great rookie year,
mm-hmm,
not so great second year.
Right.
I mean, that second season, Josh Freeman in Tampa Bay,
right,
outstanding rookie season, not so much the second year. Point being that you can make an impact as a rookie and get people excited and say, yep, we got to get that guy, that rookie quarterback who does it for us right away. But what happens in year two? Well, teams figure a guy out, right? You played the position that was based on figuring out young people and getting a book on them right away.
Absolutely. And that's where you measure these guys. That's where you want them to progress. Like you said, in that year two and three, where you want to see him start to really become the player that you thought he was going to be. But, Vic, I wanted to talk a little bit about the draft, and you see the smile coming on my face right now. I get excited and I get goosebumps around this time because, again, it is a draft. And I keep going back to me coming out of the University of Southern Mississippi and didn't know what was going to happen and the excitement of the draft. And you know, obviously you've talked to a lot of teams and a lot of teams that say this and say this, but you really don't know what's going to happen.
Sure.
You don't know where you're going or who's going to take you. But I think about these young kids that are coming out in this draft, and I know they're excited because I just know the excitement that I felt when I was coming out. I know I took that
one week away. I'm glad you brought that up because I think that's consistent with the mindset. You have to wonder about where these kids, what they're thinking as we now move a week closer to this thing.
Right. And I remember standing, you and I talked about it, but I remember sitting there and, you know, goosebumps and scared to death and don't know where I'm gonna if I'm gonna go in the first round or the second round. I knew it was either first. You have a feeling it's either gonna be where you're gonna be get drafted, but a lot of things can happen. That board can move around and it could just get crazy. But I get excited every time the draft rolls around.
No, there's no doubt about it. And again, to relate to what these guys are going through, you could do that so well. Great stuff as always, Hanford. We appreciate it. We'll pick this up again with you next week.
And I can't wait to talk to you when we get a little. I want to ask you who you're going to draft if you were the GM sitting in that
chair.
There
we go. Yeah, we'll get our. We'll have to, as we approach draft week, we'll put the feet to the fire and I'll figure this thing out or try to.
Partner, it's always a pleasure.
He is Hanford Top Dog Dixon.
Joining us here
on Cleveland Browns Daily, it's driven by Liberty Ford, brought to you by Madden NFL 12. EA Sports, it's in the game.